Is everyone happy to be here this morning? Put it. Okay. Thank you, Mason. Let's see those pearly whites. Everybody give me your biggest smile this morning. Okay. Well, this morning I have good news for you. I'm not speaking, okay? Thank God I have tough skin, right? Been a soft heart. And I love even those who are clapping loudly. You're the best. I'm supporting you too, okay? But anyway, this morning we have a special guest. Our son Nolan is home from school. And I've asked Nolan if he would speak with us so that I can give it my best on Christmas Eve. And Nolan, we're excited to hear what God's laid on your heart. So can we do this together this morning? Can we just welcome Nolan forward? And let's just give him a welcome.
It's good to be back at Journey Church. I'm coming all the way from the 305, the dirty Miami. So I'm coming from a loud church, so today I need some amens, some holla at you boys, because, come on, you guys preach as much as I do, so we need some to get some loudness in here. But like my dad said, I'm the prodigal son of them. Moved all the way up to Miami, Florida. It's good to be back, though. I'm happy to be back. But today we're just going to read one small but powerful verse from the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14. And I like to call this the Sky Bible. So if you don't have a Bible, look at the Sky Bible. You guys are going to love my jokes today. Amen. Also, I'm breaking my mom's fashion code by wearing white pants in winter. I knew my mom would love that joke. All right. Time to cut the comic act, but let's start getting this word. So Isaiah 7:14 says this. All right then, the Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to be back in River Falls today. I just pray that you'll open the hearts of everybody here and that you'll just speak through me, Father. Not my words, but your words, Father. We're just so thankful for you coming to earth 2,000 years ago and then dying on the cross for our sins. Father, I just pray if there's anyone here that's hurting, Father, that you'll just speak to them today. We just love you and we praise you. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You guys sounded good on that. But as I said before, I moved all the way to Miami, Florida in August of this year. And I'm going to college called VU College. I know some of you guys might know VU College or VU Church. So VU College is just a church, VU Church. And they have a college program where I'm taking online classes, but also an internship with that. And some of you guys might know the lead pastors, Pastor Rich and Pastor Don Cherie Wilkerson. I know the men that go to men's ministry know Pastor Rich Wilkerson Jr. just because we did his Friend of Sinners series 2018, something like that. But yeah, our lead pastors are Pastor Rich and Don Cherie. But every Thursday at the VU College, we have a chapel service where it's awesome because our college people our age get to come up and just do worship set and then hear a sermon from someone on staff or one of the leaders of VU Church. My president, John David, one week wanted to change it up a little bit and have a prayer service. So we got in a big circle, kind of like a Sunday service circle, got around, started singing Kumbaya. No, I'm just kidding. Man, these jokes are just landing hard today. But so we had a prayer service, and they put all 32 college students on the TV and said, hey, let's just pray over each and every one of them. And it's been a hard year, just people, cars getting broken into, cameras getting stolen, backpacks getting stolen, cars getting stolen, and then people with just sick family members. So people just going through life at this college. So I'm praying through each one of them, starting from my right to my left, and I'm just praying, hey, God, just be with them. Be with them in this season. And then I felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I was like, oh, please don't speak to me right now as I'm praying. But he said, pray that they know I'm with them. And I just pray that prayer over each and every one of you today that you guys will know that God is with us because he is a good father and he's with us through every season of our lives. And I love the story of these three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And it reminds me of Jerry, George, and Kramer for Seinfeld. It gives us a perfect, I love this story because it gives us a perfect picture of what it, for someone to know that God is with them. So we're going to read 18 verses. I'll try to shorten a few of them just because that's a lot of reading. But there's three things that really stand out to me in these 18 verses, and I'll speak on them. I'll probably spend half an hour in each point, so get cozy in those pews. But let's start in verse 1. Daniel chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. King Nebuchadnezzar made a gold statue 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And he just sent a message to all the leadership about the dedication of the statue he had set up. So these officials came and stood before the statue King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then the herald shouted out, "People of all races, nations, and languages, listen to the king's command." Quick pause. This is what heaven's going to be like. It's going to be all races, all nations, and all languages. Verse 5, when you hear the sound of these instruments, bow to the ground and worship King Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue. Anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. So at the sound of the musical instruments, all the people, whatever their race or nation or language, bowed to the ground and worshiped the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. But some of the astrologers went to the king and informed on the Jews. They said, "King Nebuchadnezzar, long live the king. You issued a decree requiring that all people to bow down and worship the gold statue when they hear the sound of these instruments. That decree also states that those who refuse to obey must be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom you have put in charge of the province of Babylon." Another pause. I think it's interesting that these people were in leadership and they knew what was going to happen when they knew that God was with them. They knew that they'd be thrown into a blazing furnace. They said, "Pay no attention to you. They pay no attention to you, your majesty. They refuse to serve your gods and do not worship the gold statues you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar flew into rage and ordered that those three be brought before him. They brought them in. Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, you three, that you refuse to serve my gods or worship the gold statue I've set up? I will give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I made when you hear the sounds of the musical instruments. But if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. And then what God will be able to rescue you from my power?" And these next three verses are where we're going to focus on today. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If God is for us, who can be against us? If we are thrown into a blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we are able to make it clear to you, your majesty, that you never serve your God or worship the gold statue you have set up." 18 verses, man, that's good. But one of the first things that stick out to me in just the scripture is that they knew God was with them. And when you know that God is with you, you're going to have the boldness to live, just bold, boldness to live. I like what my dad was preaching last week. He was telling me that he gave everyone a post-it note and had them write possible and impossible. I think when we know that God is with us, that impossible seems possible because we know that we're not walking alone. We don't have to do it on our own strength. It's by the grace of God that we're going to get through some things in our lives. It might be a sickness that you're someone in your family's facing, and maybe you're like, "I just can't do this alone. Like, my strength is not going to be enough. The money I put in is not going to be enough. I need God. I need Jesus to walk with me." As the psalmist David wrote, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me." Some of you might be walking through the valley of the shadow of death today, but God is with you. Since I'm a college kid now, I get the right to look up words on the Oxford Dictionary. And if I wasn't a pastor, I'd want to be a teacher. So I'm going to do a little teaching on a few words today. And the first word today is faith. And faith means complete trust or confidence in someone or something. And we see that these three had faith that God would save them. In verse 17, it says, "If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us." They had confidence that God was able to save them. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. A lot of us, our faith might be low because just life's happening to us. I hope today that this will encourage you, that your faith will go higher, just to know that God is with you. He's not far away. I always think of Finding Nemo, through the valley of shadow death, when I think it's the dad has to swim through that valley, and he's scared, but some of us are scared to swim through that valley, but God is with us. I know I sound like a repeating claim, but just saying that God is with us, but it's so true. And I know in my life, there's times I feel like I don't deserve God to be with me because I messed up. Oh, I did that last night. Oh, come on, Nolan. I just start beating myself up. Oh, I just shouldn't have said that to that person. That was mean, God. You shouldn't be walking with me. You don't deserve to be walking with me. But I love that Kanye West, Ye West, my man, in 04, he said this in Jesus Walks, to the hustlers, killers, murderers, and drug dealers, even the strippers, Jesus walks with them. And I think that's so cool that Kanye West was saying that, 15 years ago, that Jesus walks with them. And I hope today, I know I keep saying this, but I hope you guys know that Jesus walks with you. It might be through that season. And like the people at VU College, just I pray that they know that God walks with them. And like I said, there's times I feel unworthy, which gives me hope, because if I was worthy, we wouldn't need Christmas 2,000 years ago. Amen. We wouldn't need Christmas 2,000 years ago. So it gives me confidence to know that the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, wants to know me and wants to walk with me. Even though I mess up, even though my mouth is sometimes running itself, my mom knows what I'm talking about, I get myself into trouble, but God still wants to know us and still wants to walk through us. That's just encouragement to me. So the first one was that they knew God was with them. And secondly, they knew their convictions. They had a clear conviction. And my second word I want to define for you guys today from the Oxford Dictionary is conviction. It's a firmly held belief. I wrote it this way. Simply is defined as a firmly held belief. Verse 18 shows us their conviction, and it says this: but even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that you will never serve your God or worship the gold statue you have set up. I think it's cool that no matter what they're going through, they're going to serve the Lord. I wrote it down this way, and if you're taking notes, I think this is one thing that you should write down today. And it's, if you don't stand for something, you'll bow to anything. I think there's going to be opportunities in our life, at job, at school, any in the family, that we'll have a chance to bow to something that's really not what we stand for. I don't have a good example for that, I'm sorry, but something that we might bow down to, that's something that we don't believe in, something that we don't agree with. But that's why we need to know our clear conviction, because there will be seasons where there'll be a blazing furnace, people will want us to bow down to something, but when we know our clear convictions, we are able to stand firm and be bold and say, no, I'm not bowing down, I'm not going to the ways of the world, God has called us to be different, Jesus has set us apart. I'm going to stand firm in what I believe. And I know my dad was telling me that men's ministry on Saturday was watching a Chris Hodges video, and he was talking about the tithe, and just tithes is simply a principle of the first 10. And I listened to Chris Hodges, I love him, and he was telling me, or he wasn't really telling me, I was listening to him, and just talking about the tithe of the morning. So just one of my clear convictions is before I talk to anybody, before I look at my phone, before I give my brain that dopamine reward, it's to read my word and just spend time with Jesus. Spend time in prayer, spend time in the word. I think that's so important because the world is impatient. The world is always wanting to go, go, go. But when we read the word, we just slow down. Because when we spend time with God, God is patient, God is kind, God is loving, God is full of grace and mercy. And when I spend time with him, I become more peaceful, more patient, more full of mercy to people that might annoy me, but it just helps me to become more like Jesus. And I'm not really proud to say this, but in my notes when I was typing this up, I had, sometimes our convictions can be challenging to follow, but instead of challenging, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but I said sometimes it's an inconvenience to stand to our convictions. like my conviction to wake up every morning and read my word, it's there's times I wish I could get that extra 30 minutes of sleep. Like when I flew into Minneapolis St. Paul Airport on Monday, we got done at loading out at church at about 12:30, got home, and I was like, oh, do I really need to read my word this morning? It's going to be an early one. But I woke up at 4 o'clock because I wanted to be at the airport at 5:30, half an hour drive, saying, Nolan, that's too many details. But I always heard a good storyteller always has a lot of details. So I'm just throwing out these random details. I'm sleeping on the couch because I didn't want to wake my roommate up. Where was I? Oh, yeah. Just kidding. I know where I was at. I'm just trying to throw some jokes out there. But it was inconvenient for me to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning just because of my conviction to read the word. And when it's dark out, I'm like dozing off while reading. I'm like, Lord, just help me just to read this one chapter. I just need to get this in my soul. But I think it's interesting, more than 30 minutes of sleep, the word gives me more power than those extra 30 minutes of sleep. So I challenge you guys today to listen to the conviction of the Holy Spirit of where something might be a conviction for you. Might be just the way you eat, the time you go to bed, like, hey, I got to wake up at this time so my day's on track, so I'm not rushing throughout the whole day. It might just be convictions like that that you guys just need to obey and follow. Some of them, when you talk to people, might be silly, but come on, that's just how it is. These three probably thought they looked silly not bowing down, but that was their conviction, and they stood firm. So I'm a big movie guy, and I envision just this whole scenario in my head, and I envision Shadrach talking to him. He's like, yo, Abednego, you gonna bow? He's like, nah, bro. Meshach, you gonna bow? Nah, I ain't bowing. Okay, I ain't bowing too, brother. I got some hood in me in Miami. The 305's been changed me. I got a buzz cut. I'm wearing white pants on a Sunday in winter. Come on. But I always envision, like, no, I ain't bowing. I am not bowing. And I think it's important that you need to check your circle of people that you're around too. If you have people that have different convictions from you, have different beliefs from you, you're going to be, even how much you love Jesus, you're going to be pulled away because the people you're closest to shape you the most. That's why I think small groups are important, because you get to get those people around you that love Jesus and that wanting to know Jesus more, and that's shaping you to become more like Jesus, helping you stand in your conviction, someone you can go pray with, someone they can pray over you for. But like I said, I don't think it was the easiest thing for them to stand rather than bow. But I love in Daniel chapter 1 that even then they knew their convictions. When they got conquered, King Nebuchadnezzar wanted them, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to eat certain foods. But I love what Daniel says. He's like, I'm not going to let that food defile my body. So they even knew their convictions before this situation. I don't think you can make convictions in the fire, but before the fire, that's when you need to set them out, make them, write them out, just make a list. I have it this way. It might be a conviction not to gossip, or even to block certain websites on your phone, or even not to be on social media. It's always not the greatest. There's times I'll just delete social media because I just go on it too much. And then someone's like, hey, look what I tagged you, and you'll love this. I'm like, oh, can you screenshot it and send it to me? Can you screen record that video and send it to me? But it's great because the people there know that that's my conviction, and they'll support me through it. And third, the first two, so they knew God was with them. They knew their convictions. And third, they knew who God is. You can't get to know someone deeply if you're hearing about them once a week. I can watch all the ESPN clips, all the YouTube videos. Some of you know this illustration already. All the interviews of the greatest basketball player of all time, LeBron James. LeBron James, the GOAT. But the only way I can get to know him is to know him personally, which I think about 12 o'clock, I'm going on a FaceTime call with him. Thank you, Aaron, for that laugh. But that's why I'm sad he's not in the 305 anymore, because we've been best friends. No, but they knew that God cared so deeply for them that in the middle of their fire that he would be with them. This is the main point I want. I've said it over and over again today, but I pray that people know that God loves them and that God cares deeply for them. To this day and for the rest of my life, I'm going to let everybody know that they are valued in God's eyes, that they are loved by Jesus. Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago because he loves you, and that they have value, infinite value in their lives. There's so many people on Wednesday nights that come in, people even in this church service today that don't know that Jesus loves them. And it breaks my heart that they don't know Jesus loves them. They're in a broken and hurting world. They need hope. They don't know that there's a Savior that loves them so much that he died on the cross for them. They go through life maybe struggling with something. Amen. struggling through something. They don't know that there's a Savior that cares for them so deeply that even though they walk through the valley of shadow, that he is with them, that God is so good that he loves them. People's greatest need isn't more money. People's greatest need is to feel loved and valued. I like what my dad says over this church. Every person has a name, every name has a story, and every story matters to God. God's heart is for people. There's times I pray, God, break my heart for people, or break my heart for what breaks yours. And God's heart breaks over people. So there'll be times I'm talking to, I see someone walking, and I'm like, oh, Lord, I don't want to talk to him. He's like, I pray that your heart breaks your mind. I'm like, oh, fine, Lord, stop convicting me right now. But God's heart breaks for people. I love Pastor Rich. He's in this series called Bricklayers. And he's talking about Nehemiah and how his heart broke for people. I think when we're called to something, it's going to break our heart because of the people that are around us. I just thought that was a little free nugget. Doesn't really have anything to do with this sermon. But God's heart breaks for people. And when he calls you to something, it's because he wants you to reach people and love on people. I love what Psalms 139 says in verse 13 and 14. Is that you made all my delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. This verse just shows that God cares for us. He knit me together in my mother's womb. He cares about every detail of my life. He cares if I'm going through a season of depression, a season of anxiety. He cares because he knit me together. He made me. I'm made in God's image. So is each and every one of you. They knew, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew that God is a good father. They knew he promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He's never left me. He's never left Gabe. He's not going to start off leaving you. Amen, Gabe. Gabe with the Pastor Rich stats. It's good to see that back. I love it. But they knew that God is Jehovah Jireh and that he is our provider. God will provide any need. He'll provide any encouragement that you need. He'll send people in your life to give you encouragement. He'll send you, Lord, I pray this over my life, financial provision. Amen, Lord. But when we are weak, he is strong. Jesus came for a relationship with us. He didn't come to make bad people good. He came for broken people, just like me, just like you, just like everyone. As soon as Adam and Eve sinned, brokenness, that was the moment we needed a Savior. And Jesus came to heal us and to forgive us of our sins. But just a little bit of encouragement right now, because that was kind of heavy in my opinion, but that Jesus, we need to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Imagine if me and my good friend only talked once a week. They'd probably be like, oh, thank God I only have to talk to no one once a week. But that's like with God. We just can't go to God once a week on a Sunday and sit there and listen to him and receive. We need to make it a personal conviction to just read his word. When we get that word inside of us, we're going to see the fruits of the Spirit. We're going to see us being more kind and patient with others. Because I know if I didn't read my word every morning, I'd be snapping off at people. I'd be looking like fifth grade Nolan in basketball, stomping. Oh, what are you doing? Oh, That's why I need the word, so I can be patient with people. Some of you are like, oh, wow, he's getting honest today. Say, can he do that? He can get honest? But Jesus didn't come to make bad people good or to help people fulfill religious duties. It's not enough just to pray with some, I don't even know, people pray with beads, praying over beads. We don't need that. We have a God who we can go straight to. We don't need other person. We can go and confess our sins to him. We don't need to go to somebody and sit in a box and say, whisper to their ear. I mean, I don't know what they really do, but I've seen it in Seinfeld. But I don't need to go sit in a box and tell some of my sins. I can go straight to Jesus Christ because he loves me and wants to know me and he cares for me, so we can go straight to him. But Jesus is the living water who quenches our thirst. I pray that you guys aren't running to something, running to relationship to relationship, running to just drink to drink, trying to find a fill for your soul. You can go straight to Jesus. I love the story of him and the woman at the well. I am the living water. Come to me. She's been with so many guys. He's like, I know who you've been with, but I still want a relationship with you. And I think that's just so encouraging to me that Jesus still, even though I keep running, there's times I'm like, oh, I don't want to go to school today. I don't want to go to kids at VU Church. But he's like, those kids need to know my love. And just keep coming back. They're thirsty for you. They're thirsty for something in their soul that only I can satisfy. So if you haven't, we're going to go into time of prayer. But if you haven't made a decision to follow Jesus, we're going to give you that opportunity here today. So with every head bowed, eyes closed, we're just going to give him an opportunity. No one's looking around. Jesus loves you. On the count of three, you can just raise your hand. Just maybe if you just want to rededicate your life to Christ and just go all in today. So one, Jesus loves you. Jesus cares for you and wants a relationship with you. Two, you are valuable in God's eyes. He knit you together in your mother's womb. And three, if you want to accept Jesus in your heart, you can raise your hand today. Just the encouragement. So let's pray together as a church, and we can just repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you that my sins are forgiven. Thank you that my past, present, and future are forgiven. We love you, Jesus. In your name, amen. Let's give it up for those people that made that decision today. I just think it's so awesome that we get that opportunity as a church just to pray over them. If you did make that decision today, is there a connect card area that you can fill that out? So you can just fill that out. Connect card will contact you. Just reach out. Just pray for you. So I pray that we have a great Christmas and a great rest of the Sunday. And then Pastor Michael, Pastor Dad.
Okay. Well, Nolan, thank you so much. That was awesome. I do want to say this about my son publicly. And when he talked about conviction, one thing I've admired as a father to a son, which is kind of a weird situation, but it's the reality, a father looking at a son, is I see Nolan as a person of conviction. I mean, started about his, I think it was early in his junior year, late sophomore year, when I noticed that he was getting up every morning, turning his light on, getting out his journal, getting out his Bible, seeking after God, praying. And I'm like, hey, I'm the pastor of the church. I need to get with the program, man. But this publicly, I just want to say, Nolan, thank you for being that person, because I know that God's going to honor that person. Amen. There's something about when we put God first. And we looked at that in men's ministry. It's the first of our finances. It's the first of our day. It's the first of our week. Thank you for being here this morning. You're taking the first of your week to be here. There's something about when you put God first, it's amazing the blessing that follows in your life. So, Nolan, I just admire that about you. Keep up the good work. And don't worry about what everybody else is doing. You just keep seeking after God, and God will honor that, and great things will follow. Amen? So I want to encourage that. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. So here's what I want you to do. I just want us to just pray in closing this morning. And I just want to pray a blessing over you. Father, just thank you for this day. Thank you for your amazing love. Thank you that you came from heaven to earth to be our Savior. Righteousness that we could accomplish that would save our soul. But Jesus, you paid the price by giving your life on the cross. So Jesus, we declare that you have died for us. We want to live for you. So Lord, just be with us. Fill us with your presence, with your power. And Father, I just pray that as everyone walks out of this room today, that they know that they don't walk out alone. But the promise from Isaiah is God with us, that you go out with us. You go out into our pains. You go out into our victories. You go out into our challenges. You go out into our good times. You're with us always. And we just thank you for that today. God, I just pray for the presence of the Holy Spirit just to fill our hearts and lives. And Lord, we just pray your blessing on the remainder of our day. And we just thank you for one another. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said. Amen.